All right. Today we're going to take a different path. We're not going to be in Mark's gospel today, but we'll probably return next week. So if you're looking forward to that, we'll go back to the gospel of Mark next week, Mark chapter 14. But this morning I'd like to discuss a text that Steve preached on, John chapter 2. How long has that been, Steve? He says it's been a while. So anyway, it's been a while. John chapter 2, verse 1 John. Sorry. He had no idea when John chapter. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. And it's this text. The world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And there's a similar text right above that, which reads this way, and this is John chapter 2, verse 8. The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. So we have two texts here that describes that something is passing from the scene. And in both cases, we think it's the same thing. They're described slightly differently. The world is passing away. That's in verse 17 of chapter 2. And then in verse 8, right above that, it says darkness is passing away. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31, it says this. Paul says this, uses the same expression. But this I say, brethren, the time is shortened, that henceforth those who have wives may live as though they had none, and those who weep as they did not weep, those who rejoice as they did not rejoice, and those who buy as they did not possess, and those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. For the fashion of this world passes away. So in all three of these texts, we see that the New Testament writers, as they looked around the world, they saw, and in one place it's called darkness. Remember how we've talked about how the world is much more dark than we think? On a bright sunny morning, we think, oh, the world isn't dark. But he's talking about spiritual darkness. And so all three of these, John the Apostle and Paul the Apostle, as they looked around, they saw a dark world that is on its way out, you might say. We have a suitcase company. They don't bring much suitcase company. They bring little backpacks, the little grandkids, and they come to our house. They're here this week. And I think they're going back today. Are y'all going back? They're passing on. I mean, they're passing through. They're going through. It's
I hope we're not passing on.
No. You're passing through. They're going back to San Antonio. And so I look over there and I think, oh, they're going back. That's literally the idea here. The world is on its way out. And so Steve preached on this now several months or so. It doesn't matter. And I have this little doodad here. And, it's frustrated me completely at times. But in other times, it can be handy. And so Steve's preaching on that. And I have my little Bible in here open. And I punch the button, little button, on the word pass. Passeth away in the original language. And it's a clever little doodad, and used to be when you have to memorize all this stuff when you're in seminary and Bible college and whatever. And they make you memorize this stuff. But who needs to memorize it? So I punch the button on the word that is translated pass, to pass away. It's apago is the word. Or to pass by. I punched my little button on there, and Steve's preaching away over here, and it says, that word is present tense, passive voice, and what else here? Indicative mood. Now, it used to be you had to memorize that. But as later on I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, there's a sermon there in a little grammar. The world is passing away. The word itself is not a super-duper theological word. It's used all the time in the New Testament. Jesus passed along the seashore. That's not super spiritual. And it's used all over. Jesus passed along and came to Matthew's tax hut there where he's gathering taxes. It's just a simple expression that takes from going from one place to another. Nothing super duper spiritual. But when John says the world is passing on, now that's spiritual. But it is, I'm going to go through the grammar here, it's present tense. It is passing right now. I really like that. It's happening right now. It's going on right now. You may not see it, but this world is on its way out, just as truly as Abigail and Brett are going back to San Antonio. They're heading off. The world is on its way out. The door has been open and it's going through the door. It's going. This place looks as firm, doesn't it? When was the last time there was an earthquake in Nacogdoches? We had one, remember that? I saw that little picture of a lawn chair that fell over during that little earthquake up by Garrison. Remember that, y'all? And it says, we will recover, you know. But we think the world, if you've ever been in a real rip-snoring earthquake, Abigail has, since we're talking about Abigail here, she's been in an earthquake down in New Zealand, haven't you? They have earthquake drills in New Zealand. The world isn't quite as firm as you think it is. In fact, if you knew the scripture and you had it in your heart, you would just say, this place is quite rickety. It's old and worn out, and it is on its way out. The wrecking balls are coming. Now, that brings us to, it's in the passive voice. I just love this kind of stuff. I know it's grammar, and y'all just bear with me. Passive voice means the subject of the sentence is being acted upon. The world is being acted upon. The world is passing away. Now, what does that mean? The world is being acted upon, and the idea, who's acting upon it? God. The God himself has a jackhammer out, and he is laying waste to this age. The wrecking balls have come. It's on its way out. And God is the reason it's on its way out. He has said it's over, it's on its way out. Now, we said it's present tense. It's going on right now. But nevertheless, the world, it's not finished being wrecked. But it is on its way out. And we've loved this verse lately. Jesus must reign in the heavens until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. Jesus is in the heavens and he is there ruling. And in that, the intervening time between he goes up into the heavens and when he returns, he is, it's not good. I'm not a Francis Schaeffer or a David Martin Lloyd Jones or Calvin, or I'm just a country boy from Cleburne. The world is under the wrecking ball of God. It's going. It's got cracks in the wall. One day it's just going to fall right out. And Jesus is going to reign in the heavens until that happens. And the last thing that's going to be wrecked and gotten rid of is death. That thing we hate, hate, hate. He's going to get rid of it. God's doing it. So you want to know why the world is passing on? It's not because of global warming or global cooling or human action. I remember Mark, I look back there and see Mark. Mark told me once, he probably doesn't remember. You're going to be started getting quoted just like preacher. He said, we're not going to nuke ourselves into destruction. God says he's going to get to do it. You remember saying that? No. But it's profound. We're not going to blow ourselves up here. Now, we may do a blowing up some stuff. Who knows? We may have another big nuclear war. But the end of the age is coming because of God is bringing it. And he's already instituted it. The wrecking balls are coming. Jesus is reigning in heaven, and he's getting rid of the domain of darkness. And this age in our own lives in all sorts of ways, we'll get to it. We have a little bit of time. They hired some fellows back when we had a courthouse, a real pretty courthouse. And they hired some fellows, I can't call their name, they were brothers. I know one of them. Bob Murphy hired them to tear down the old courthouse so we can build our new one. And they went to, they tried with sticks and, you know, hammers and stuff, and it wouldn't fall down. It was real well built. Could have lasted another 300 years. And so the fellas, the Packer brothers, that's it, they went to Houston and got a wrecking ball. But in the meantime, they were in a hurry to build the new courthouse, and so they started to build it right up next to the old courthouse while the Packer brothers. And this, it's not a completely good illustration, but while the new courthouse was going up, the old courthouse was going down. That works pretty good as illustration. The problem was they got that wrecking ball going, and the wall started going back and forth, and it just happened to fall the wrong direction on the new courthouse. That's not going to happen in the heavens. But precisely what's going on. God is the world. This dark age is on its way out. There's cracks in the wall. It's going. And God is about ruling in the heavens and building something new in our lives. Y'all know this, but I just think it's glorious. The world is passing away along with its desires. That's good. And it's passive. God's doing it. Now, you want a little bit more grammar? It's in the indicative mood. Now, I learned all this by a touch of the button. Indicative mood means it's actually happening. It's not speculative. It's speculative. It's not a wish. It's not a possibility. The indicative mood means it's actually happening. I know this sounds simple. The action of that verb, passing, is not speculative. It's not viewed as a possibility, but it is going on. It's actually going on. Now, in this case, we've already talked about it. It's going on right now. And it's going on because of God's action. But it is real. It's not like, well, we hope it goes away. It's indicative mood. That's just a little grammar. And so the New Testament is all about us knowing what realities are, so we don't make mistakes. And Paul said it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions and sin, has made us alive. Right here and now, in this age, in this world, in San Antonio or Nacogdoches or Detroit or wherever, he can do this to people. He's made his people alive. Together with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. This is all spiritual. And so we have a life right now that's partially down here. We have to walk around here. But also we have a life up there in the heavens where Jesus is ruling at the right hand of God, putting all things under Christ's feet. We'll keep going here and reading this. It's pretty good. And he's raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing richness of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not out of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, that no one should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, Paul would say, if you got him down, we'd say, Paul, is that a potential? Is that something that might happen to us? Paul would say, no. I said, we have been saved by grace. We have been seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. This thing has happened. Now, it may not have come to full fruition. The wall may not have fallen down completely yet. But it has happened. It's happened. You hardly know it. And I love, we said it a couple weeks ago, that C.S. Lewis said, if we really saw each other for what we were in Christ, we would be tempted to worship the person sitting next to us in this place. That the person sitting next to us, Zoila and Craig right there, those are two people born into the kingdom of God. Their lives are hidden with Christ and God. And if we really saw them for who they were, we would go, my goodness, and they'd fall down. And they'd say, don't do that. But you see, glory has begun, and this age is on its way out. Okay. So it says, the world is passing away along with its desires. Just a little description on this world. It's full of desires. We woke up into this world as a little tiny baby with desires. It's kind of, we woke up wanting stuff. A little baby wants mama's milk, and he grows up a little bit and he wants cake, and then he wants ice cream. And if he grows up a little bit and becomes an ice fella, he'll want steak and eggs and bacon and stuff like that. Or he wants a new car, or he wants a house, or wants a wife. Oh, I have a wife. Or the woman wants to get married and wear that dress. But we go through these wants. And this is the nature of our human life, is we have, the world is passing away along with its desires. Listen, I've told you this. I love books. And I used to buy books, theology books mostly, because I might need them. The older you get, you don't buy stuff because you might need them. You only buy stuff because you need them now. Because you know what the future might hold? There may not be a future. And there's coming a day when we'll lie on a bed and we won't even hardly have a thought for the next meal, because we're right on the edge of eternity. The world is passing away with all of its desires. And our life will be so out into the future with Christ that the things of this age will just... Oh, we come and say, the only thing people will care about us is what we might leave behind. But we're going to leave it all behind because, number one, we can't take it with us. And number two, we don't care anymore. The world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. In those moments, we'll have seen all those times we could serve Him. Lord, what's the greatest thing in all my life? Yes. Knowing Him and serving Him. We'll look back and say, oh, I wish I've served Him more zealously. You can take that with you. The things in the future, this age is going. It's been, the wrecking ball is on it. But there's a life coming where moth and thieves cannot break in and destroy. Where sadness and pain and depression won't diminish. It's coming. It's bright and glorious. And Paul would have us know it. And Jesus would have us know it. And John the Apostle would have us know it. The kingdom of God, he'd say, is at hand. It's right there. Repent and believe the gospel. And that's what they did. They believed it. Now, this is very good investment counseling. I want you to look at me as John Henry, wealth management. Every once in a while you get one of these calls on this little phone. He says, I'm John Henry with so-and-so wealth management. And I say, you've got the wrong number. You see, and what they do is they're trying to tell you how to invest. I don't even say that, you guys. I just click. Now, would you invest in horses and buggies and manure disposal? As Henry Ford builds his first factory in Detroit, we do it all the time. We're investing in stuff that's old and honest. You know, they used to speculate, this will be interesting to you. They used to speculate that New York City would be covered in manure in another 20 years. There were so many horses in New York City. Well, That's a kind of a judgment call there, Steve. But literal manure, Steve. And what I'm saying is, don't invest in horse and buggies and manure disposal, because Henry Ford is going to make that stuff obsolete. John is saying, you guys, this world is passing away along with all its desires, but the man who does the will of God, he abides forever. And the things that he's done last forever. The glory, the sacrifices, all that he's done has eternal worth. Paul said it, I am convinced that the things of this age aren't worthy even to be compared to the glory that's coming. So, Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36. What profits a man if he gains the whole world, a world that's passing away, and he loses his life? Let's just say we invest everything in this age. What will we have? It doesn't even compute anymore to me. They talk about these rich guys, but it's all happened before. We think these rich guys are going to run the show. They're in. Listen, name one of these mega people. Come on, somebody.
Soros.
Good. He's investing in manure, and horses and buggies. Give me another one. Who owns
Bezos?
For what?
Bezos.
One.
Jeff
Bezos. Bezos, yeah. Is that how you say his name? I wouldn't want the name Bezos. I'd rather have the name Apt. Bezos has invested in stuff that's on its way out. There's nothing wrong with him making a good investment. There's nothing at all. But no matter how much you build it up to, listen, the world is passing away. It's happening right now. It's slipping through his fingers, these guys' fingers. They may think they're going to even make more. And they are. But he can't get it. He can't keep it. It's passing away. All of it's passing away. It's passing away now. God is working to make it pass away. It will pass away as a result of that. And it's real. You can't see it. But it is in the indicative mood. It is real. It's more real than anything what God is doing to this world. We live in denial. So what should we do? We should give ourselves to God. Mark's gospel has it in the same chapter. It says this, if any man would come after me, the king, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's our choice. We can live for this age, or are we going to turn against or even what someone might think our best interest would be? They might say, oh, Jeff, don't do that. I mean, don't go be a missionary. You ought to invest in horse and buggies. Or Bezos' stuff, Amazon.com or whatever. Or be a pastor of a big church. Or whatever. It's going away. Right now, it's on its way out. God has shown it the door. And it's passing right through. So, in Luke's gospel, the angels came to the shepherds. There's a bunch of poor fellas. They're just old goat herders and stuff. And he says, they say to the shepherds, don't be afraid. I know we're kind of frightening. But I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. Today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the King. And it will change everything. Nothing would be the same. Then the world would respond to all that. And after Jesus lives his life, we've been studying this in Mark's gospel, he lives his life. And they plot against him and they put him to death on the cross. And they think, we finished with that stuff. Just go back to horse and buggies and manure. But he's raised from the dead. The third day, and he is now seated at the right hand of God, and he shall rule until all his enemies are put under his feet, and then the end will come. So I just ask you, as Jeff Apt Investment Counseling, what you're going to invest in.